and we go to Dallas for conferences, but it's a process. We stick a CD in of our favorite Al-Anon speaker. We stop at Shipley's to get donut holes and a cup of coffee, and then we drive to Dallas. Welcome, Susan B. Can you hear me now? Hi, everybody. My name is Susan B.
Hi, Susie.
I am very grateful to be here. I am a grateful and enthusiastic member of the Al-Anon Fellowship, of which Al-Anon is a part. My home group is the Booster Shot AFG, and we meet Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon out at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. And so if you're ever out that way and you want to come by, it's right across the freeway from the Ingram Mall. So come join us Sunday. I would like to say thank you to Sandy for asking me to speak. This is an opportunity of healing for me. And I had heard from another member here that in the Al-Anon room there's a little desk and some chairs. And she said that's the healing chair up there when you go up there to tell a little bit of your story. And I definitely connected with that. But what I see from that, too, is that this podium is healing. All these chairs out here are healing. And thank you, everybody, for being here and participating in recovery. I'd also like to thank Club 12. I'm a member in good standing at Club 12 and attend some meetings here when I'm able to. And with the anniversary of 67 years, just what a wonderful venue. And again, thank you, especially for those who attended the dance last night, for being here today and participating in the meeting. I would also like to, well, my sponsor's not here, and she was invited, but I would like to say that I do have a sponsor. She was involved in an auto accident recently, and she is still healing and felt like she couldn't make the trip today. But I do have a sponsor, love her dearly, and one of the things I want to share about her is really what Al-Anon is all about. At a recent meeting, she led a meeting about hope. Now, that is probably one of the biggest gifts that Al-Anon gives to the membership. And in her leading the meeting, she had an acronym for hope. And it was so profound to me that day that we talked about it quite a bit afterwards. And also we got in touch with our WSO to even see if they would review it in their literature chair and see if they could make it a slogan or acronym. And of course that process didn't work out exactly as we thought it would. They suggested that we keep it an acronym and that we just share it. And that's how acronyms come to be used, is by just sharing them. So the acronym that we have for HOPE is H is for help, O is for opportunity, P is for possibility, and E is every day. So, you know, what better acronym could that be, that I have help, opportunity, possibility every single day? And that's what I have being a member of the Al-Anon Fellowship. As you can tell by looking at me, I'm getting a little bit older. That's okay. That's a good thing. That is okay, and I like it. But in context with my story just keeps getting longer with every passing year. So I have changed it up a little bit, and what I'm going to do is speak about just a few specific topics. One of the things that I've done over the last few years has renewed my interest in music. And so what I'm going to do a little bit of my speaking is to incorporate some song lyrics that kind of go along with some of the topics that I've chosen. I started with the ukulele, and I did that for a couple of years, but my true love is a piano, so now I have an electronic piano and love playing that. I am 63 years old. I was born in Salt Lake City, Utah. I had five brothers. I had no sisters. Both my parents had alcoholism, and for a long time I thought all my brothers did too, but that was in my faulty thinking. One of the things I learned in Al-Anon was that in AA they tell drinkers not to drink between meetings, but in Al-Anon they tell you not to think between meetings. Because that's where I go wrong, is in my thinking. There was a wonderful reading in Hope for Today, one of our little readers yesterday, and the person was saying about some effects, how they had been affected by growing up in an alcoholic home. And what they had discovered was that it was the effects of the disease that caused their problems. It wasn't the people who had the disease. And that was very, very profound to me, too. And that's really how I lead my life today, is, you know, I work on me, not anybody else. There was a lot of violence in our home between our parents, and probably between all of us, really. My mother was abused regularly, physically, had many hospitalizations, so I was exposed to a lot of violence growing up. Well, I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Relationships have been one of my most difficult things. I've been married 3 times. I am a retired registered nurse. And today I have a fun job. I work not too far away over here in a little gift shop that has a restaurant associated with it as well. So what I'm going to do, the first song that I want to just say a few lyrics about talks about being in a home that has alcoholism or addiction. And this is a song called Because of You, and it's by Kelly Clarkson. I'm sure you've probably heard it before. She says, because of you, I never stray too far from the sidewalk. Because of you, I learn to play on the safe side so I don't get hurt. Because of you, I find it hard to trust not only me, but everyone around me. Because of you, I am afraid. I lose my way, and it's not too long before you point it out. I cannot cry because I know that's weakness in your eyes. I'm forced to fake a smile, a laugh, every single day of my life. My heart can't possibly break when it hasn't even, when it wasn't even whole to start with. Because of you, I try my hardest to forget everything. Because of you, I don't know how to let anyone else in. Because of you, I'm ashamed of my life because it's empty. Because of you, I am afraid. Now, what I found here is that these feelings really hit home to me. But what didn't hit home to me, now that I've been in Al-Anon for a while, is the repeatedly, because of you. Because what I just mentioned in that reading is that, you know, there certainly were circumstances. But today, you know, I know that my parents loved me. They probably were just not able to really show it in a way that most children would like to be loved. So I'll use Father Tom's word and say that she needs a little bit of help. really, I guess what I would like to say is the biggest effects on me was that I lost my voice. I really lost myself. I became a big people pleaser, approval seeker. And I know today that that was to survive my surroundings. My parents, they just were emotionally unavailable because they were, you know, drinking. My dad was functional. He worked. My mom stayed home. But they just weren't available to us. So we also we were put in positions. I think especially me as the only girl, I learned quickly to do household chores and take care of things and that kind of situation. Later on, as an adult, I just described it as kind of like being Cinderella. And I remember having little lists of things to do, and you know, and then I'll take a break, and then I'll watch this TV show, and then I'll do this. And things like that. I definitely learned the phrase that you hear in the rooms of don't trust, don't talk, don't feel, because I was always told, oh, you don't feel that way, or that didn't happen like that, or, you know, that's not right. You know, pretty soon I was just quiet. And I remember being a teenager, and sometimes there was a period of time where I had trouble even finishing my sentences because it was like I just wasn't heard or would make myself be heard. That was part of it as well. I know that my parents didn't want to be alcoholic. My dad was unable to find sobriety. He actually died of cancer, but he was active up until just those last couple of months. My mom was able to quit drinking. She didn't have AA recovery, but she quit drinking and found her religion. Now, what really helped us was that she went, for about a year, she went to some Al-Anon meetings with me. And she didn't really talk about it too much, but one day we were in the car after a meeting, she started to cry. And she said how sorry she was for everything, you know, that had happened in her home. So that was a big turning point for us. And as she was able to not drink, our relationship just blossomed. And we really shared several years of doing things together and really enjoying one another. I'll move on to one of the topics I wanted to talk about was being a victim of sexual abuse by a family member. And this is a horrible, terrifying experience. It happened over a period of years. And one of the song lyrics I want to read to you, it's not about sexual abuse, but the lyrics to it perfectly describe some of the feelings that go along with that. This is part of Michael Jackson's song Thriller, and this was really meant to be like a Halloween song. It says, "It's close to midnight and something evil's lurking in the dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. You try to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're paralyzed, and no one's going to save you from the beast about to strike. You hear the door slam and realize there's nowhere left to run. You feel the cold hand and wonder if you'll ever see the sun. You close your eyes and hope that this is just imagination." And, you know, it really made my life more fearful. I lost myself a little bit more. Certainly didn't have a voice because I was so ashamed and, of course, you know, told that it was my fault and these kinds of things. And it was a devastating situation. I finally was able to write a letter and I sent it to my grandmother. And I don't know what she really did about it. I think she either talked to my mom or mailed her the letter or whatever. And nothing really ever happened. My mom talked to me about it later, but I think, as I recall, it was more like, did this really happen? And it was still happening, but nothing happened because of that conversation. And just one day it just stopped. And which was really a true miracle, you know, certainly my higher power there being with me all along the way. And what I was able to do with that later on in coming to Al-Anon was I had actually gone to some therapy for something else and ended up getting a tremendous amount of help. So like in our literature, it says that Al-Anon won't solve all your problems, so if you need outside help, by all means, go get it. And I can't say enough for that. It helped me tremendously. I know it doesn't happen that way for everybody, but I was able to confront my abuser. And he said he didn't remember, and I said, "Let me remind you," and he said, "No." And then followed by many, many, many apologies. So, you know, that helped me so much because that just set me totally free. I could really be myself again. I could find myself. I could speak my truth. And it just, you know, catapulted my recovery tremendously. Today, I have a lot of forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting, but all of the pain and resentment is gone. The next thing I wanted to talk about was my romantic relationships was that I was really unable, or maybe I was able, I wasn't faithful in my romantic relationships, and I had a lot of them. And the song lyrics that go along with that that I see, and I think you'll be familiar with this song as well, too, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. And really, that's exactly what it was. Which it's good that you laugh about that now, right? And but let me just read you these couple of lyrics because it really was helpful to me. And this is I know more than one singer saying this, but these lyrics are from Johnny Lee. "I've spent a lifetime looking for you, playing a fool's game, hoping to win. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of. When I was alone then, no love in sight, I did everything I could to get me through the night. Don't know where it started or where it might end. I turned to a stranger, just like a friend. And in a way, that's what it was like for me. It took me a long time to figure out. I thought that maybe some of my actions were due to my abusive past, but today I know that that's not true. I think what it was is I truly was looking for love, because I really didn't have what I thought was love growing up. So I was looking for anybody to take care of me, provide me with that love. And, of course, it just doesn't work that way in those types of relationships. I didn't have the capacity to love back, even. I couldn't give somebody what I didn't have myself. So it was really a big thing for me to see that I was able, even with growing up a little bit more, before even going to Al-Anon, my last husband, we had a long marriage of 23 years and a monogamous relationship. And unfortunately, the marriage didn't last. My husband did have alcoholism, and he had had many years of recovery, and after 10 years of marriage, he had a relapse, and life was just not the same after that. He did find some brief periods of sobriety, but the marriage just didn't last because of that. But also, it wasn't until he relapsed that I found Al-Anon. So I'm sure for those first 10 years, I don't know how he stood me. You know, all my own defects of character and flaws and stuff like that. Because of my exposure to like dysfunctional behavior and stuff like that, I did have one son. I have one son with my first husband, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I have two wonderful, beautiful granddaughters, and they really are the light of my life today. And but because I came from a place of dysfunction or alcoholism in my young adult, I thought, well, you know, things will be great because I don't drink. Everything will be okay. But, you know, it wasn't. Just like in that reading, I took all those effects that I had experienced them, and I just still had them in my life, and I used them. And so I neglected my son emotionally. I wasn't there. A lot of times I, you know, wasn't there. Left him on his own, just like I gave him the experiences that I had, only without the drinking. So as an adult, now he's, you know, working on his issues and his problems, which he is, but not through any kind of recovery program. He once told me, I don't need your wisdom of your 12 steps. And I said, you're right, you don't, you know. I don't need to be your fixer or your savior. So he is working on that in his own way. And but what I would like to say about that, we've had a couple of times that were pretty lengthy of estrangement because of his trying to deal with his growing up. Probably the most, or I guess I would say the worst thing that I did was that when he was about 12, because I wasn't really functional in child rearing, that I had him go live with his dad. And his dad was physically abusive to him. So this was just really difficult for him to go through and survive and overcome. And so we were estranged a couple of times for several years. And what I learned during that time from the love and support of Al-Anon and my outside therapy was to be the mother that I could be. I've learned to be a better parent. I've learned patience like you wouldn't believe. My higher power has helped me so much with becoming patient. And today I don't run away. I don't hide from difficulties or things my son will say to me. I can stand by and I can just wait. And when he calls and wants me to visit again, then that's what I do. So I really learned a lot in these rooms. When he first told me that, you know, he didn't want to hear from me anymore, or whatever, this are the song, or these are the song lyrics that came to my mind. And this is a song about a father and son, I think, that also had broken up. This is a song called Against All Odds by Phil Collins. And he says, how can you just walk away from me when all I can do is watch you leave? So take a look at me now. There's just an empty space. And there's nothing there to remind me, just the memory of your face. And you coming back to me is against all odds. And that's what I have to face. And to wait for you is all I can do. And it was really difficult for me the first time. He told me he didn't want to hear from me again. And I just wanted to stay so attached. I would send him texts. I would send him cards. And I'm praying for you and all this hogwash. And it was suggested to me to stop doing that, that he was actually using a boundary. I knew I was beginning to learn about my boundaries, but I didn't know anything about anybody else's boundaries. And so that's what I did. And I learned to be patient. I learned to wait and to stand by. And over that, and not abandon, because that's what I had done. So today, I was up there visiting the first part of August for my son's birthday. And I was up there in May for my oldest daughter's high school graduation. I was there just last week. My son retired after 20 years in the Air Force. And to be invited and included was just spectacular. And my oldest granddaughter, in her thank you letter from her graduation gift, it just couldn't have been better. I just love you more and more every single time I see you, she said. And I really mean it. It means a lot to me today to have those close relationships. I have really learned a lot. I've done a lot with my life now. I have a voice. I do things. I go places. I'm not afraid anymore. I hope to be afraid if I'm going to get in a wreck or something like that. But I learn to work through fear. And one of the songs that I use for myself is a little fight song by Rachel Platten. And she says, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open, which is, I think, what Al-Anon does. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say, the wrecking balls inside my brain, I will scream them loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. My power is turned on. Starting right now, I will be strong. I'll play my fight song, and I don't really care if anybody else believes me, because I've still got a lot of fight left in me. So this is just an example of some of the feelings that I have today. I mean, I do care about people, but I don't have to stop doing the things I do if somebody disagrees with me. And I guess the last thing I'll say is that none of this would be possible without a higher power. The sponsorship, the steps, the literature have just been paramount in my life. I've done a lot of work, study with friends and service, and it's just helped my life so much. And I do steadfast prayer and meditation, and it just helps me so much. What the song that came to my mind actually was one day I was in the car, and I'd heard the song before, but I thought, this is a perfect higher power song. Even though it's kind of like a little romantic type of melody. But so I changed the words just a little bit. But it's called One Call Away by Charlie Puth. He says, I'm only one call away. But this is God talking to me. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save your day. Superman got nothing on me. I'm only one call away. Reach out, take a chance. No matter where you go, I know you're not alone. I'm only one call away. Come along with me and don't be scared. You and I can make it anywhere. When you're weak, I'm strong. Don't worry. Just keep holding on. When you feel like hope is gone, just run into my arms. I'm only one call away. And that's how I hope to lead my life every day. I thank everybody. I do owe a debt of gratitude to AA. My very first meeting was an AA meeting. They helped me so much, helped me find Al-Anon. I probably cried too much in their meeting. But anyway, I love the meetings, I love the speakers, and just want to thank you very much for the opportunity. Thank you.